We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. Now, I know today has been all about kind of the end of the game yesterday, some of what led to the end of the game yesterday, too. But man, there's a lot of big picture conversations to come out of this start as well. And, you know, Randy, we spent a lot of time this summer leading into this season saying, yeah, these guys have September, man. Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff, this Falcons unit, this Falcons era right now has September to show us that they're different than they were last year. And didn't look that much different, unfortunately. So what are they going to do? How are they going to figure it out? What's the next step you take to try to get this thing together? Because I mean, you got a pretty mediocre Chicago Bears team coming in here this next weekend. Hopefully you get a win. But, I mean, this is about as bad of a start as you could have to a season, especially the way the loss went yesterday.
Yeah, man, this is one of those things where a win goes a long way, Bunk.
Yeah.
a win goes a long way. And, you know, you won't erase it. This is going to sting for a minute. But, I mean, the easiest way to get over a tough loss is to get a win. And they got to figure out a way to do that this weekend with Chicago coming in, who's not a very good football team. They got dominant players, especially Khalil Mack. I think Roquan is playing so good right now. Mm-hmm. They got some really good players. Robert Quinn. So, again, you know, we got the good news about Caleb McGarry. Maybe he'll probably miss this week, but it don't get no easier for when you look at the outside pass rushers when you with Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, who played fantastic yesterday. But, yeah, they've got to find a way to correct the mistakes, tell the truth Monday. What time is it? So it's probably 1 o'clock. So usually around this time is when you have that first team meeting around 1 o'clock after everybody works out. And so now you're going to get to the bottom of it. And it's, you know, there is no right answer. This is what maybe I just got to hear it from the actual players that were out there. There's no reason. There's no good reason for what happened. You know, that's why I keep, you know, just coming down to it. That's just bad, man. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's just that bad that there's nothing you can say or try to explain to me what happened on that play that's going to make me like, oh, I see. No, there isn't, because those things don't happen, Andy, in professional games.
Right.
You just don't see stuff
right.
Like that, man.
Well, and that's oftentimes the explanation for difficult to explain situations in sport. Well, that just happens, you know.
No.
Bad bounce, stuff like, no, this is not that.
That does not happen, exactly.
Yeah, this doesn't happen. No one's ever seen it before. The entire collapse, no one's ever seen before. Scoring 39 points and not having a turnover literally has never happened before. History, man. They made history. Chip Carey going to join us coming up in 20 minutes from Fox Sports South as we start to ramp up and get ready for the playoffs. The Braves have 7 games left in this series. Their magic number is 5 to win the division. Their magic number is 4 just to get into the playoffs. So the home stretch, and they're back at it tonight against the Marlins. So Chip Carey going to join us in 20 minutes to talk about that. The AMA at 1:40, get your questions in, any question, any topic. We've opened up the phone lines a couple times today to talk Falcons, but the phone lines are open for the AMA as well if you want to get in there and ask a question. Of course, Falcons questions are welcome at 1:40 as well. But let's kick off the 1 o'clock hour by telling you what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Got to be careful, this little dribbler down the middle now.
Yeah. And the ball is recovered by Dallas. The ball spun around. Atlanta looked at it. It rolled across, and Dallas got it.
Yeah, and Dave Archer hints at it at the beginning there because he knew that the ball wasn't on a tee, as did the Falcons, I would assume, because they called a timeout when they saw that Zuerlein was about to kick it like that. And he said, you know, be aware. And, you know, Arch thought he was just going to kick that little down the middle dribbler like kickers do and try to follow the ball himself maybe and land on it. We've seen that happen. That's kind of, you know, a popular onside kick tactic over the last 5 years or so. But he knew that it was weird, right? He noticed that it was different. And the Falcons likely noticed that too. Now, we don't know what was communicated when they did call that timeout. I have no idea or reasonable explanation for why the guys didn't fall on the ball when the ball was kicked and it was just sitting there. But they didn't. And the Cowboys recovered and they marched down the field as everyone knew they would when they recovered that ball, kicked a field goal and won the game. And now we're talking about one of the worst losses in franchise history.
Yeah, unbelievable. An unbelievable just takes the soul out of you, man, especially as well as they played in the first half, man. That's the best they've played in a long time. I'm just talking about all three phases, attacking on defense, aggressive on offense, and taking, you know, taking turnovers into short fields into points. Now, I wish they were touchdowns, but points are points. And, Young Wei Koo, shout out. Very good job yesterday, young man, of kicking those field goals, because if they're presenting to you, I mean, we would talk bad about you if you missed them. So he made all his kicks. So I thought that was really well done. But, yeah, there's a situation the Falcons are in right now that this type of loss, and all losses are different, but this one, these are the ones that you can define a season as, all right, we're in the dumps, and we just can't seem to get out of our own way, or we're going to continue to have this, oh, here we go again, or as soon as something good happens for us, you sit back and wait for something bad to happen. That can go that way, or you can just take this and learn from it and try to move on, because Matt Ryan said it, you got 14 games left. Nobody wants to hear that right now, Matt, because you just want to be mad, and nobody wants to see that there's a bright side, which there right now doesn't seem like it is. The bright side is that, hell, once you flush this away, man, it's time to focus strictly on Chicago. There will be no more Dallas talk in the building. It will be all about Chicago when you come back to the building tomorrow, Matt Ryan. But right now, nobody wants to hear that because you're so disappointed the way you lost that game.
Yeah, and look, I have to believe that certain things are harder to flush than others. This is a very specific type of loss. And you said it, Randy, the here we go again thing. Like, that's something that's real, right? Like, you get into these moments, and these are guys that many of them, the core of this team, have been a part of losses that were kind of like this, where you have a lead and you allow the team to get back into the game. And, you know, you're just doing everything wrong. Everything has to go wrong in order for them to get back into it. Like, that mentality of here we go again is because, well, not only because it's impossible to flush everything out of your memory, you do remember the way things go, but also just because they've been in it. And it's hard when that momentum starts. I don't know how you undo it. Again, it's impossible to have that amnesia. I know everybody says, you know, in order to be a successful player, especially a defensive player, you got to have a short memory. A short memory is good, but, you know, this stuff starts to happen and you have those flashbacks. Uh-oh. And then you start to get tighter. And then they score another touchdown. Yep. And then it's a one possession game, whereas you had a 20-point lead as recently as the midway through the third quarter. Like, it's just the reality of being human. Even if you're a great football player, you remember blowing games. And
yeah. And the thing with it, Buck, it's easier to come when you're trying to come from behind than it is for when you're ahead sometimes. And the reason is because you don't know if you should continue to be aggressive or not. Falcons should have continued to be aggressive with the lead. They should have kept continuing to be lead on defense. But yet you sit back and you allowed them to get rhythm, to find those creases that they weren't getting because you were smothering them. And then you give them all of a sudden you give it up big plays in a pass game. And once you start giving up big pass plays in a pass game, Andy, that's when you got that same thing you just said. Oh, hell, here we go. You start getting tight. The Falcons players, you cannot tell me that they were not starting to get tight. Like, when they scored their last touchdown, that was like, whoo, yes, sir. But Dallas just kept coming. And Dallas had their rhythm by then. And by then, you couldn't go back to your attacking style. You were just out of it, man. But that's still no excuse. You're up 9 points with 2 minutes left. Two.
Yeah.
And they got no timeouts. And I thought, and one of the plays, Andy, and I thought if they would have won the game, it would have been crucial. You remember it was like a little bit over 2 minutes left, and Dallas has no timeouts, and then they tackle Ezekiel inbounds, and they let it go to the 2 minute warning. I said, that's important for the Falcons right here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking, because I'm knowing that they're going to do an onside kick, and the Falcons are going to fall on the football, three knees, and you're done. This is my thinking, but at the same time, I'm just like the caller said, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's – the reality of being a Falcons fan is that's always in the back of your mind, no matter what.
You
the
never would have. You never could have told me that they would have lost this game that way.
Well, not that way. But you could have told me at the end. This is what sucks about it, and this is that scar tissue of being a Falcons fan. You could have told me at the end of the first quarter when they were winning 20-0. Yeah, they found a way to. They lost 40-39. I would have said, "Damn!" Not surprised, but damn. I wonder how that happened. And then you go and watch, and 30 points in the second half. The Cowboys scored 27 points in the first game and a half they played. 17 against the Rams, 10 against the Falcons. And then they scored 30 in the second half. The Falcons have allowed 79 points in 2 weeks, Randy. That's the worst in the NFL.
Yeah.
They've given up 750 passing yards. They've allowed quarterbacks, and I know it's Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson. I know that. But still, to complete 77% of their passes in two games. Like, and that's a full defensive failure. That's a pass rush failure. That's a coverage failure. Everything has to go wrong in order for that to happen. 30 points in the second half? How? How? Here's Matt Ryan after the game yesterday.
You got to make them pay. You know, when you get short field opportunities, you got to come away with touchdowns. We were okay, just not good enough. And, you know, that's something that we have to do better moving forward. You know, when we get our chances, when our D creates turnovers, we've got to capitalize. So that's something we can do better as an offense.
And it did. Correct. It was a little scary in that first quarter when they got those back-to-back turnovers and they went field goal. And I'm like, yeah, 20-0 is great. I'm not complaining. But, right. Man, it could be 24. It could be 28. Mm-hmm. They left some points on the board. And lo and behold, the game's really long. They end up losing by one. You get one of those turned into a touchdown, and maybe it goes different.
How long was that first quarter?
That was a very long first quarter.
Yeah, man. I was like, damn, they still the first quarter. It was over an hour long. But, yeah, I mean, you always look at it that way. You got a short field. We got to score a touchdown. There's still no reason why you didn't win that damn football game. All right? That is not the reason when you lost the football game. That right there. And a lot of things led up to the onside kick thing, but there was plenty of reasons why you lost the football game. You took your foot off the gas defensively. You didn't get aggressive. You got real trying not to lose, not letting them get the big play, and yet you gave up two big pass plays. You gave up the big play to Amari Cooper, then you gave up the pass play to Gallup, which was a fantastic catch. I don't know what they were looking at. He was in all the way, but, you know, it is whatever. Somebody asked me about Isaiah Oliver. He wasn't garbage. I don't think he's bad yesterday. He just wasn't good. You know,
he got beat a couple of times. I mean, that catch by Gallup, what are you going to do? That's just a great play.
That was just a great damn play by him. But, I mean, that's why I said it's hard to point fingers right now. Anybody, I just want to say, I'm just going to blame the whole charter, whoever went down there to Dallas, man. Because everybody from coaching to players, everybody had a hand in this one, man. These are the ones that can define a season. Like, and for Dallas, this could be that one that gets them over that hump, which I don't know yet because I don't know how good Dallas really is. I know the talent, but I don't know how good they really are. But this could be that backbreaking loss for the Falcons. This could be the one because I'm never one of those people where he needs to come out and he needs to talk and he needs to let us know what he's thinking. Obviously, Arthur Blank has let you know how he's feeling. Dan Quinn will coach his football team this Sunday, but I don't know where you go from here if something don't change. If you can't beat the damn Bears. And I shouldn't say it like that because the Bears are 2-0 and the Falcons are 0-2.
But, I know. Who are we to talk?
Yeah, who are we the hell? Who are the hell? Because they got some players now. You think it's going to get easier, man? I mean, defensively, hey, they got some dudes over there on their defense. Offensively, it's all about Mitch. You know, can you get after him? But, you know, we'll get on the Bears as the week goes along. But, yeah, this was staying, man. Yeah, you can listen to the phone callers. You can read our tweets, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. People are mad.
Rightfully so.
Tired.
And that's what it is. It's they're tired of it. People are mad. You'd be mad if your team was – if the Falcons had beat the Seahawks and they blew the game like that on Sunday, you're mad if you blow a game like that. But it's just the repetitive nature of it. People are just tired of this being the narrative surrounding this team over and over again. And you said it could be a season-defining loss. The problem is it's an era-defining type of loss. When it comes to the Dan Quinn era, that's what this is. It's being talented, being in positions to win, and not doing it for all the reasons we've listed today. A lot has to go wrong in order to lose a football game like that. But we've said, how many games have we said that about in the Dan? Man, so much had to go wrong, and it always does. It always does. All right, let's get a little happy here. Kyle Wright was good over the weekend. Here he is talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's big for me. Just being able to continue to go out there and execute and do the things that I want to do. So definitely, hopefully keep this going into the next one too.
Hopefully he does. Kyle Wright, 6 1/3 yesterday, one hit. Braves get the win. Ian Anderson, okay on Saturday. Okay, 4 2/3, four hits, 3 earned runs. They got him out of there because he was at 100 pitches. And Max Fried looked good in his return too. So, you know, it's not a great situation with the starting rotation, but it's getting better. It seems like the starting pitching, I feel better about it today than I did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the right direction, right? And I think that's the thing. We know three starts ago, came on, said, I'm close. Is this close? I like it so far, Andy. I think I'm going to need to see him one more time before the playoffs get here to solidify if he's going to be one of those top three pitchers where he might have to be out of default.
What do we say about Chip Carey?
The best damn in the business.
Best in the business joins us next. Chip Carey from Fox Sports South to talk about the Braves. They've got a game tonight. 7 games left before the playoffs get here. Chip Carey joins us next on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from the AMA to wrap things up here on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast. Any question, any topic? Obviously, it can be Falcons related. I imagine it might be. But you can tweet them to us at TBM929, at RandyMack81. Text them to us, Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line. Phone lines will be open as well. We'll answer all your questions 20 minutes from right now. But it just feels like a really good idea. And we've been talking a lot of Falcons today, obviously. We'll talk a lot of Falcons tomorrow, too. But doesn't it just feel nice to welcome Chip Carey into the show?
The best in the business.
The best in the business from Fox Sports South. And talk about something else. Like, isn't it nice to talk about the Braves who are good and won their weekend series and are playing again tonight? So, Chip, thank you for allowing us to change the subject briefly. How are you?
You don't want to talk about onside kicks? Come on, I was ready.
No. Chip, we've been talking about it all day, and we're still trying to figure out. I don't even think we can figure out it, because there's no answer that's going to be the right answer, Chip. They just can't explain it.
Yeah, you just turn the page, man. That's all you can do. Turn the page and move forward. That's what we're going to try to do.
And watch some Braves baseball tonight. Let's do that as well.
There
because,
you
know, we talk about this with the Falcons sometimes about, you know, they get in bad moments and they don't know how to react. I think a lot of baseball teams would have been dealt the hand that the Braves were dealt at times this year and not been able to overcome it. The Braves have, though. Like, have you been surprised by how resilient this baseball team has been this season?
Surprised is not the right word. I think I've been proud of what they've done. You know, Brian Snitker is a remarkable man. This is an organizational guy. He never panics. He's been through just about every baseball scenario and situation you have as an instructor, a minor league manager, a player development guy, taking over a major league team as an interim manager, and then surviving a couple of regime changes here, and then winning a couple of division titles back-to-back. You know, I'm really proud of what these guys have done, and when it's magnified by what the COVID pandemic has meant, not just to the Braves, but for every Major League Baseball team, I cannot tell you how remarkable a job Brian, his staff, and these players have done. The MLB numbers came out the other day. I think the last 29 days, there's only been one positive, and that was a false positive. Just from a health standpoint, the seriousness with which the teams that are playing Major League Baseball or dealing with COVID-19 in 2020 is amazing. But to your bigger point about losing starters and losing pitchers and losing players to injury or ineffectiveness, you know, there's an old saying, you pedal your bike straight through, and that's all you can do. The schedule is what it is. You have to play, and I think the big bonus that the Braves have as opposed to a college or NFL team is we don't have to wait 7 days for the next game, and turnaround can be just 24 hours away. So, really proud of what they've done, really proud of what they've accomplished so far. And going back to original spring training, what Snit said about this team is there's a sense of unfinished business for this club. They felt like they had a team that could have gone to the World Series and won it last year. That didn't happen. And I think collectively this group knows they have a great window and a great opportunity to take advantage of a really good team, get in the playoffs, and play well in advance and see where that takes them. But the way to do that is to keep doing what they do, play consistently, never get too high or too low, and approach each game as the most important game that day and try to go 1-0.
And, Chip, when you look at this lineup, I think 1-9, the Braves can go with anybody in baseball. But I think the bigger issue, and I think we all know it, is the starting rotation. Ian Anderson has been up. You know, Kyle Wright's looked good his past two starts. We still don't know what Cole Hamels is. In your mind, where do you think this rotation is right now?
Well, I think it's trending in the right direction. We said that on the broadcast yesterday. If you think of where the Braves were 2 weeks ago, I think everybody would have been in DEFCON 5 panic mode. My God, who's going to start games and how many times is the bullpen going to have to pick up 5 or 6 innings a day? I think that stabilized a little bit. I think everyone was really encouraged with the way Max Fried threw the ball the other day. I think Cole Hamels pitched fine in his first start. I expect him to be better in his next start. The changeup was a little high and had to work on that in Baltimore, but he's going to be ready to go, I think, tomorrow in Game 2 against the Marlins. You can't complain at all about the adjustments that Kyle Wright has made. He's looking like a guy that deserved to be the number 5 overall pick in the draft over his last two starts. And Ian Anderson, even though he had a rough outing in his last start, gave the Braves a chance to get back in the game and pitched almost 5 innings with less than stellar stuff. So, look, we all know that the way that baseball is played in postseason play is a lot different than it is in the regular season. You don't often see starters get ridden through 6-7 innings. They don't go through lineups 3 times anymore. It becomes a bullpen game. And if the Braves starters can get through the lineup twice, if the Braves starters can get into the 5th inning or maybe early in the 6th inning and turn it over to the bullpen with this offense and defense, as you said, they can beat anybody on any given day. And so I'm cautiously optimistic that they've turned a corner and that they're heading in the right direction. And the key guys that are going to pitch in the first round of the playoffs are going to get another start apiece. And hopefully they'll be good ones. In the case of Hamels, he'll get 2. And all the Braves care about is get these guys ready for the playoffs and let the chips fall where they may.
Chip Carey joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline from Fox Sports South as the Braves have 7 games left and looking forward to the playoffs as well. This can obviously change in the next 7 days because, like you said, Cole Hamels is going to pitch twice. But if you were setting your playoff rotation today, who would be your first 3 guys, your first 3 starters?
I'd probably go Fried. I'd probably go Anderson. Then I'd go Hamels 3 with Wright 4. I think the Braves like the idea, and I haven't spoken to anybody about this, but I think they like the idea of breaking up the lefties in the middle of the rotation, gives them a different look. You've got your ace going in Game 1. You've got Anderson, who's kind of an unknown quantity. If you face the Cardinals, they haven't seen him. If you face the Reds, they haven't seen him. That helps. And then if you split the first 2 games, you've got Cole Hamels, who's a big-time playoff guy with all kinds of World Series and playoff experience, pitching a must-win potential Game 3. So that's how I would set it up, but it's all dependent upon how Hamels feels coming out his next 2 starts and, quite frankly, how Anderson does. And from all that I'm hearing, everything's good with Max Fried, so that's what I would do.
Hey, Chip, what was your initial thought? Because I've always said this, Freddie's going to be in that 3 hole no matter what goes on around him. We know one thing, Freddie's going to be in that 3 slot. But now he's been batting in a 2 lately. What was your initial thought, and how pleased have you been that it's working?
Extremely pleased. You know, this is where I think analytics has really helped, and Brian Snitker's willingness to embrace those analytics and numbers has really made a big difference. Remember, Brian joked the other day about he's being the ding-dong who kept Acuna hitting 4th instead of having lead off the game. When he batted him first, the team took off, and the same has happened with the Braves' offense. I think it does a couple of things. Number one, you have Freddie hitting behind Acuna, who's going to steal bases and give Freddie RBI chances. You have Acuna protecting Freddie. And you have 2 guys after Acuna who let an opposing pitching staff know it's red alert from the very first pitch of the game because they're all in scoring position. And I think that's what we've seen. Look, take away the 29-run game that the Braves had against the Marlins the last time they were in town. This team's averaging 6-7 runs a game since that has happened. It's no coincidence. Getting them back, getting Ozzie back, it's a very dynamic, it's a very deep, and it's a very fun lineup to watch unless you're opposing them as an opposing pitcher in the National League. So Freddie doesn't care where he hits. He just wants to hit and produce. And I think the numbers show that he's going to thrive whether he hits 3rd, 4th, or 10th. I mean, the guy can fall out of bed and hit 290. So the great thing about Freddie is he's not going to complain about where he hits. He just wants to be part of a winning team and a winning lineup, and he certainly is that.
What is the best argument for Freddie Freeman winning the MVP right now? Because there's a lot of them. What's the best?
His numbers speak for themselves. I mean, look, there's some West Coast bias. Obviously, the sexy new shiny new toys are Tatis out in San Diego and Mookie Betts in L.A., both of whom are having fantastic seasons. But if you look at Freddie's numbers, the traditional numbers, average, homers, RBIs, runs scored, walks, on-base percentage, he's 1st or 2nd in just about every single one of those categories. If you look at Freddie using the newfangled sabermetrically inclined numbers, he's 1st or 2nd in just about every single one of those numbers. He plays gold glove defense. He's playing on a winning team. He's a leader of this ball club. I think what hurts Freddie is in this era of sizzle, he's just a guy that goes about his business as a pro's pro. He doesn't care about the recognition. He doesn't care about the fancy, fancy histrionics on the play. He lets his numbers and his play speak for itself. But this is a man who's been a model of consistency for a long, long time. For, the last 8-9 years, he's been one of the best players in baseball. And when guys like Bryce Harper, whether you like him or not, say on national TV that he may be the most underrated player in Major League Baseball for a national audience, I think that opened a lot of eyes. And obviously playing for a good team means a lot, and the fact that he's out there every single day means a lot, too. So I think this is a year that Freddie's going to get his due. I think he is the MVP. He's certainly one of the most valuable persons on this team, not just players. And his work with the Clemente Award and our community stands out as well. So in 2020, Freddie Freeman's my guy for sure for the MVP.
We all, I think the one addition that we all love, I know me especially, is this daggone Marcell Ozuna. I'm a big fan of his because he seems like he brings that toughness that people might have thought went away when Josh Donaldson left. You're around these guys, and you know, we're wondering, what's taking them so long to sign him?
Well, I think that's really
an
interesting thing. There's no other way to say this other than to state the obvious. Look, I don't think anybody in Major League Baseball knows what the economic climate is going to look like in 2021. This pandemic has really, really wiped out a lot of money for ownership and for the players. That's why getting the playoffs is going to be so critically important for these teams that we can get to the World Series and get it completed because of the TV revenues that are involved. Look, we're all hoping that baseball resumes normalcy in 2021, whether it's via vaccine or herd immunity or whatever we have, or a better understanding of how this virus works and how it affects people. But until we have an idea of that, I don't think anybody's going to rush out and spend a whole lot of money on anybody at this point. The economics of the game are there for the players and owners to see. And look, I'm not privy to them, but I know that the Braves are part of Liberty Media and a publicly traded company, and the revenue streams without fans in the stands and going to the battery, those are huge hits. And I'm sure they're being felt all across the Major League Baseball landscape. So would the Braves love to have Marcell Ozuna back? Absolutely. But the bottom line is the bottom line, and I don't know what kind of dollar is going to be available for guys like Ozuna. I'm sure he's going to get paid, but it's a matter of whether it makes sense for the Braves or anybody else to get him locked up. But to your point about Donaldson, he brings the same kind of intensity, same kind of swagger, does it with a smile on his face, and he's been everything the Braves were hoping he would be. And if you look at the Cardinals, they certainly miss Ozuna's swagger in the lineup in St. Louis, and the Braves are happy to have had him for basically a pittance of more than what the Cardinals were willing to pay. And whether he's here or somewhere else, he's probably one of the guys that will get paid, and I hope it's here.
Hey, Chip, do you know what your guys' setup is going to be for the playoffs, where you're going to be broadcasting from and how that's all going to work?
Yeah, we'll be doing our Braves Live post-game show after the playoff games. We'll be doing that from the Colony Square Studios downtown. I'll be doing that with Paul Byrd, Nick Green. I think Peter Moylan might be in there. There's probably going to be a cast of thousands analyzing the game. We'll be doing an hour-long pregame show after each one of the Braves ball games, and really excited to do that. Ideally, we would have loved to have done it from the Battery, I'm sure, where we have our stage, but obviously health concerns have to be first and foremost for everybody. So we'll do it from the safety of the studio. We'll still have the same great coverage, and I'm not even sure when the Braves games will be at this point. I would imagine they would be early to mid-afternoon games for the National League. But we'll be on after the game for an hour or so, recapping everything, and we'll be out there doing it as long as the Braves roll, and hopefully it'll be deep into October, and we can talk about a parade down Peachtree in 2020.
Let's hope so. Let's absolutely hope so. We appreciate it, Chip. Thanks so much. We'll
appreciate
be tuned
you,
in.
Chip, as always.
See you tonight. Thanks so much. Big game of the Marlins tonight. We'll see you on TV.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA, Ask Me Anything, to close the show out every single day at 1:40, even on a Falcons Monday, which is brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. Randy, my brother just texted me and said, can you guys talk about the Seahawks for a little while or something? I'm tired of Atlanta sports. Now, he's asking that because, you know, he lives in Seattle. I think tired of Atlanta sports is kind of how everyone listening feels, though, too, for a different reason, because what the damn Falcons did yesterday and Atlanta United over the weekend, they didn't help. Again, at least the Braves are winning. They play again tonight.
I mean, but it's been some really good story. Like Deion Sanders, did you see the Deion Sanders arrive as he's being introduced as head coach? They got the band and the police escort and all that stuff, man. Yeah, there's some good stuff going on, man.
It's a cool story. It was weirdly reported. Like, it was reported that Deion got the job, but then it was reported that he didn't get the job. And then it was like, we're hearing he's going to get the job. Deion Sanders is the head coach. He's a head coach in college football now. What school is it? Was it Jackson State?
Yeah, Jackson State, yeah.
That's wild. I don't know how it's going to go, but it's going to be fun. All right, let's start with some phone calls. Then we'll get to some Twitter. Then we'll get to some text line. Matt is in Somerville. What's up, Matt?
What up, Matt?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Not much, brother. What you got?
What all have y'all broke in the event of a loss in your life?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't think I've ever broken anything. Like, I think I broke the damn Nintendo controller one time because it was cheating. I threw it and broke it, but that's about it.
Yeah, I've broken video game controllers. Again, I'm glad my brother is listening. He knows. Sometimes I would throw the controller at him, and you probably don't find that hard to believe given what happens every Friday at 12:40 on Sports
Jeopardy. Yeah, I can see that.
Because he cheats too. Just like you guys do at Sports Jeopardy, he cheats at video games. I kicked a hole in the wall one time when the UConn Huskies beat the University of Washington Huskies on a Richard Hamilton fadeaway at the buzzer in the 1999 Sweet 16. I kicked a hole. I felt very sad about that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where if you do it, you immediately regret it. It's immediately like, damn it, I just made it worse. You know?
Yeah, I never have done damage to anything.
Mm-mm. That's good. I would imagine a lot was broken yesterday. A lot of Falcons fans are going on Costco.com or going to Best Buy today to get a new TV or whatever. Because when that field goal went through yesterday, or maybe when the onside kick was recovered, whatever it was, I don't know what the moment was that you snapped, but I bet a lot of people snapped yesterday. All right, let's talk to Vincent in Duluth. What's up, Vincent?
What up, Ben?
Yeah, I have a two-part question. One is for the Braves and one for the Falcons. One for the Braves. We traded Donaldson and we got Ozuna. So why didn't we address the pitching at that time as well? With the Falcons, Randy had mentioned that the guys in the NFL don't do wind sprints. So what do they do to get in condition shape, football shape, for the second half so that they don't have situation like this? Those are my
questions. That's a great point. It's not that you don't, because a lot of people do extra conditioning after practice. It's just not something that is usually mandatorily done. Like, everybody on the line, that's what I mean. But people still do their conditioning and all that stuff out there. And the Braves have got to see that they need, and we just finished talking to Chip Kerr, and he's absolutely right about, we don't know the financial stuff that's going to happen going into 2021. The Braves have got to go out and get them some pitching. Yep. They got to go out and get them starting pitching that's probably not on the roster right now, Andy.
Yep. I would love it if you went out and made a splashy free agency. I don't know who the free agent pitchers are that are available this offseason. Maybe make a trade. I mean, they've got some assets with some controllable years. Maybe make a trade and get a pitcher that way as well. But yeah, I don't know. Now, is Vincent saying that he thinks the Falcons played the way they did in the second half because they're in bad condition?
It could be because, I mean, a lot of people aren't in the best shape. But yeah, like I said, we don't do a sign running. But I mean, like I said, in high school, you remember at the end, you run the wind sprints. Even in Georgia, we run. But in the pros, I mean, because you know it's your job and you know it's your profession, I'll be damned if you don't see half the guys doing gassers or something like that after practice, man. It's just not one of those things where you finish the practice, you walk in. Some people do, but a lot of guys just out there running and get their conditioning in.
All right. Final phone call, then we'll get to some from social media. Big Phil and Ellenwood. What's up, Big Phil?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
Hey, Phil.
Look, my thing with the Falcons, I haven't heard anybody say anything about this, but I watched the game and I was screaming this the whole second half. Clock management. Matt Ryan kept hiking the ball with 18 seconds on the play clock. I mean, I know the dumb play at the end, but they would have never had a chance to win the game because we left so much time on the clock. The fourth quarter, with that first score, we did a no huddle. And, you know, hiking the ball with 20 seconds on the clock, man. Clock management.
Appreciate it, Phil. The only thing I got about that, Phil, was that they were still in the rhythm of the game. It wasn't time to milk the clock because, that, you know, even though they ended up losing it anyways, that's what I was talking. Remember, I was talking about, Andy, where you were aggressive, then you take it back off, then you're trying to rev it back up. That's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was no sense to have to do that. If you would have just kept being consistent and keep going in the direction you were going, the Falcons should have never lost. This game should have never been close in the first place.
Yeah,
ever.
I mean, we shouldn't. And look, that may be part of it, but we shouldn't be talking about clock management. Uh-uh. It should never have been a conversation.
It should never
have
been
20 points at halftime. Like, yeah, ridiculous. All right, let's see what Wendy's got on the text line. Hey, Wendy.
All right, Randy, have you ever turned down loving after a tough loss?
Hey, Hell no.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I need something to make me feel good.
That's a good way to get over it, I would feel
hell
like.
Yeah.
Damn doctor didn't return an email, by the way, over the weekend.
Oh, he did?
There was an email sent. No return, so.
Oh.
Tomorrow afternoon, doctor's appointment.
Hey, man, check your junk folder.
You got to check your spam. That's saying. We got to check the spam. Can you just fabricate one? Can you just make up a doctor and email my wife real quick? Anyway.
Hey, dude, send it over here. I got you, bro.
Okay, sounds good.
If you could ask your pet a question, what would it be?
Ask my pet a question, what would it be?
Like Gary.
Why can't you find, I don't know. I don't know. I never really thought about asking my dog a question.
I don't know what I would ask Boone if I could. Like, what do I need to know that's going on inside Boone's head? I don't
Why
know.
Why do you got to be at all the pitches, Boone? every time I see Ash taking a picture, here go Dale Boone.
She tries to take, I mean, she, you know, she does a great job. She's staging these little, like, setups with the one-month-old blocks and all that to post on social media. And if, I mean, he's on the table, Boone is, to get into the picture. He loves that baby. I mean, I don't know. I would ask him something about that, like, do you love us as a family? But I know the answer. Like, that is his baby.
Uh-huh.
We just get to feed her and change her. That's it. That is Boone's baby. And you're right. He's in all the pictures. It's crazy. It's adorable. I'm glad it works out like that. But yeah, it's ridiculous. That's what I would ask him. How much do you love us? And then he would say a lot. And then it would be great.
If someone narrated your life, who would you want to be the narrator?
If somebody did what?
If someone narrated your life, who would you want to be the narrator?
Oh, Morgan Freeman.
Ooh. I think if Samuel L. Jackson narrated your life.
Mine would be Samuel L. For me personally, yeah, it'd be Samuel L.
Yeah. By the way, there's a really funny video of
a whole lot of cussing.
Morgan Freeman reading a script from, I think, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They did like a reread of it. And Morgan Freeman reading the scene is, find it on Twitter. It's hilarious. I don't know. Who would narrate my life? Do you have any suggestions? I'm trying to think. Be a good, weird Andy Bunker narrator.
I don't know either.
Like, I don't have a good one. Like maybe, yours would obviously be like, Samuel L.
Maybe DJ from Roseanne.
Who's the guy that narrated the Wonder Years? I want the Wonder Years narrator to narrate my life. I think it was Daniel Stern. He was Kevin's inner monologue. That's what I want. I want him to narrate my life. All right, let's get the takeaways of the day.
William Shatner.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man.
All right, what?
What happened? Did Wendy ever get fined on the Wonder Years?
Wendy?
Yeah, from the Wonder Years.
You mean Winnie Cooper?
Winnie Cooper. Yeah, Winnie.
Yeah, she did.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah, she looks great these days.
Yeah, she started sprouting.
All right, takeaways of the day to wrap the show up every single day, even on a Falcons Monday. What do you got, Wendy?
My takeaway of the day, if you're on the receiving team of an onside kick attempt, pick up the ball before it crosses 10 yards instead of stare at it.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That should be everyone's takeaway of the day. What about you, Randy?
They can't do this. It can't get no worse than this, can it, Andy?
Falcons have a way of proving that theory wrong. It can always be somehow worse.
I'm just going to leave it like that. It can't get no worse than that. The happy yesterday.
Yeah. Just, maybe the Saints could do us a solid tonight and get blown out on Monday Night Football. That'd be nice.
Maybe.
Come on, Raiders. Maybe. Kick the crap out of them. Come on, John Gruden. All right, Brian, what about you?
Bryson DeChambeau is Timmy Tube Stocks on steroids, and you guys still owe me chicken wings. Today is going to be a good day to work at Best Buy in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're afraid to make mistakes, no reason to be out there.
It's true.
Hell no.
It's true. Don't be scared if you're scared to get a dog. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more about the Falcons. Dan Quinn is going to meet with the media this afternoon, also the coaches show. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. Dukes and Bell coming up next. Also very interested to hear what they have to say. Thanks for being with us on a Falcons Monday. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Got to be careful this little dribbler down the middle now.
Yeah.
Watch out now!
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand.
Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.